Fancy Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. In our next break, we will get a Ginger dating update report. But in the meantime, you're in on that, right, Corey?
Both of them are redheaded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all both have no souls.
Oh. That feels...
Carter gave us a thumbs up. Alec was a little
offended. What are we talking about here, Kevin?
Hey, is this Cowboys player underappreciated? Now, I want to point out that this list we're going to go to, and Corey, you could tell me if you interpreted it this way. They're not necessarily saying this Cowboys player is currently underappreciated,
right?
But with some of the move-ins and the shake-ins, that they're going to start to move into underappreciated territory. Give me cut number 13, and it's not Cooper Rush. Is this Dallas Cowboys player underappreciated?
In the Tampa red zone, snap back, standing, time, thrown in the end zone. That's a touchdown right to the post. Jalen Tolbert got free, and Rush dimed him.
All right.
He had seven touchdowns.
That's really damn good.
Seven touchdowns. I don't even think I noticed that he had seven touchdowns this year.
Do you think right now that?
Man, he's underappreciated.
He's underappreciated.
No. I think he hasn't lived up. Like the expectation was for him to be a number two receiver on this team, and he hasn't lived up. George Pickens has been traded for because of that.
Yeah.
And so, no, I don't think that he's underappreciated because we didn't know what to appreciate from him, because there never was anything, in my opinion. Now, that being said, seven touchdowns isn't anything to sneeze at for last year. That's pretty impressive.
I don't know how much you do this, but one of the things I think about a lot in terms of, like, did you get an opportunity? Are you underappreciated? Is the need at your position. And Jalen Tolbert's a great example for that. The Cowboys were desperately wanting, hoping, needing that somebody could be their second wide receiver.
Yeah.
And to your point, didn't work out. So they had to go get George Pickens. So this article kind of discusses, and this is from NFL.com.
Yep.
Top candidate for each NFC team entering 2025 season to be most underappreciated. And I would love it if we got to that point where Jalen Tolbert again had seven touchdowns and you're like, oh yeah, crap. He was really good.
I guess the other thing regarding Jalen Tolbert, though, is he your third receiver?
I think so. By default,
okay.
For now.
All right, and because...
Although, you know what, seven touchdowns, and he did have, what, like 50 catches or something?
Mm-hmm.
That does seem to lend itself to your competent number three wide receiver.
Yeah, and I mean, I know a lot of people, they're like, what about Turpin? Turpin is a gadget guy in a lot of respects. I don't think he's like an elite receiver. I think that you get him the ball in space, he can do some special things. He's not your typical slot receiver. CeeDee Lamb can play anywhere on the field. CeeDee Lamb, you can line him up in the slot. You can line him up outside. You can line him up in the backfield. You can make him the quarterback. He could probably play tackle. He's one of those guys that you just kind of put anywhere on the field. We don't know about Mingo. We don't know about Jalen Brooks. Ryan Flannoy is supposed to take those steps. So the the most we know is that Jalen Tolbert is somebody that they've wanted to succeed for a while. And when the Cowboys want them to succeed, they give them every possible chance.
That point right there, because wouldn't you love to see a more realistic competition for wide receiver behind Lamb and Pickens in training camp? But what I think is actually going to happen is you're going to be like, well, obviously Tolbert's our number three. Obviously? Yep, obviously. So we're not even messing around with that. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, don't you want to give some of these other guys some opportunities? Well, if they do prove it, maybe they can make the practice squad.
From the 469, does QB play count some in Tolbert's inconsistency? I could see that, and I know some people argued. I know Mickey was big on this going back to his rookie year. Coming out of South Alabama, maybe you had a bigger learning curve than some of the other players. One thing I will say is you can look at his numbers, and honestly, I think look on the field and say he's gotten better every single season. And if he is as good, if not better again this upcoming season, I think you'd feel really good about him as a number three wide receiver.
I'm still kind of in this other boat, Kevin, where underappreciated in a lot of respects is, man, that guy's been here for so long and we didn't know all the work that he put in.
Right.
Or your team is very, very good and there's a guy who doesn't get enough love. this is a team where it's just like everybody's kind of, they haven't done what they're supposed to do. And so is anybody really underappreciated because we expect more out of the whole thing? So that's where I get kind of caught up in the underappreciated moniker a little bit, because I don't think anybody on this team is underappreciated right now because they haven't been good enough to be appreciated the right way.
Okay, I'm going to ask.
And I'm hoping more and better from them.
Sure. I'm going to ask the question then, even though you just kind of answered it from your perspective.
Ask the question then.
That Bobby asked in Crosstalk. I can't remember if we said that on air or off air. Kind of the joke about, is Dak Prescott underappreciated? And my answer is definitely not. He's appreciated by the Cowboys because they made him the top paid player in all of football at a time where you've seen that not every quarterback gets paid more than the next one. Josh Allen is, and Brock Purdy are perfect examples of that. And I know he gets a lot of loud hate, but I think
there's a huge contingent of Cowboy fans that love him.
Absolutely. That, and they're just,
for sure.
They're maybe not always as loud. There is a group of them that is. I think the haters are a little bit louder. I think Dak Prescott is appreciated exactly correctly.
I am right there with you. If he's was super successful, the love for him would be immeasurable.
Sure.
Like, can you, like, just imagine, this is the Cowboys we're talking about. You're the quarterback for the Cowboys and you've been super successful.
Yep.
More than just, you know, regular season stats, playoff success, Super Bowl success. You're in that mix. He would be the most beloved. We had the most beloved conversation last week at CeeDee Lamb.
Yep.
Dak wasn't anywhere really in that conversation because it is a divisive thing. Now, that was the same way with Romo. That was the same way. I mean, that's how it's been, is you either love Dak or you hate him. You love Romo or you hate him. It's a very enigmatic place to be.
And I think they followed similar trajectories, because I'll argue, in 2006, when you brought Romo in, then everyone was like, oh my gosh, I might start to love this guy. And then 2007, you're like, oh, I know we should have won in the playoffs and it didn't work out, but 2008's our year. Watch out, rest of the NFL.
And you just kept doing it with Romo. You just kept feeling like, hey man, I like this guy as my guy. I love that he wears the hat backwards.
And then 2008 didn't work out. So year three. And then that's when people were like, okay, well, plus it probably didn't help that if this is the worst thing that ever happens to me, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that one hurt people.
That didn't help. But it was after that I think people really turn on him. I think people forget, like, Tony Romo mania was running wild. And that's the same thing now. I know we're removed from it, but in 2016, when we did Peace-a-thon, and this is when we didn't have anywhere near as many items, the number one item that people were tripping over themselves to try to get was the combo signed football of Dak and Zeke. So much so that somebody called in from Vegas and they're like, oh man, I really wanted that football. And Broadus did a great job. And he's like, you know what? You pay that money, I'll get another one.
Yeah.
And so it followed the same trajectory of 2016. People fell in love with Dak Prescott. 2017 was a problem because of a variety of different things. And then back to 2018, when you lost in the playoffs in 2018, then I think that's when people made their decision. Is it fair to only give a quarterback 3 years? Not necessarily. For some reason, Justin Herbert has avoided that same level of scrutiny. And I can't understand that for the life of me.
Because nobody cares about the Chargers.
You know what? That's a great point. That's a really good point.
That's what I've decided.
Same thing about why people don't complain more about Trevor Lawrence. Because they're like, meh, Jacksonville.
It's Jacksonville.
Either way, in your face, Will. And so I think that is what's happened. Is for whatever reason, you appear to get a three-year window. And
if you don't do it in that time, then people are going to say you're a bum, you're washed, you're not capable of it. And a lot of times, Kevin, in year one, people pick a side. And with Dak Prescott, that absolutely happened, was people picked a side. They either loved Tony Romo or they hated Tony Romo. And if they hated Tony Romo, they were rooting for Dak.
Which, and it's so weird.
Rather than us, when we were just like, we're just winning right now and we're happy with that. Let's just enjoy that.
I absolutely remember a conversation that we had with Fish, and it was like, what if the Cowboys are 5-1 when Romo's healthy?
And
he goes, obviously you put Romo back in. And we're like, what do you mean, obviously? If you're 5-1, why do you not stick with what's working? And that's the same thing that we still run into today. How many people right now, are whether you're pro-Dak, anti-Dak, whatever, are more rooting for their side to be right than for them to win. Like me personally, I'll tell you right now, I do not think that Dak Prescott is good enough to win a championship.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, sorry.
I can't believe you.
But you know what? Here's the other reason I don't think he's good enough to win a championship, because I don't think this organization is anywhere near good enough at maneuvering the salary cap to add enough talent to put Dak over the top. Because how many quarterbacks have actually won a Super Bowl more or less by themselves? A handful at best. It takes an organization to build it up. And I don't think we have the organizational knowledge or capability with the salary cap to make it happen, okay?
We haven't proven it so far.
Yes, absolutely. So I've said that. That is my opinion on the record. You know what I would love to happen for the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl and make me look like an idiot? I would much, much, much rather the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, make me look like a chump, then come on here and be like, I told you, I was right. I'd rather be at the victory parade telling everyone what a dumbass I was.
Would you sit on a float that had one of those
100%.
The dunk things, and Dak just gets to dunk you over and 100%. Over and over, and you just have to keep getting back up there and getting dunked by Dak?
Now, I'll have to get somebody to help me out with this, but I'll guarantee you, if they can get my float into the parade, we'll put Dak was right on the side of the float. I will just keep walking up and getting dunked again and again because the Cowboys would have won the Super Bowl. And I am a Cowboys fan. We were all born and raised in the Metroplex. I would much rather see the Cowboys win the Super Bowl than be right about whatever.
Mm.
And don't you think most Cowboys fans should be on that?
I think so.
But they're not. Because
people want to be right about their opinion. And which I've always said on this show, we've decided a long time ago, I'd rather be entertaining than right. And so, like, clearly, I get things wrong all the time.
Sure.
I'm not trying to argue to win an argument. I'm trying to have a discussion because it's an entertaining thing that I do. Like, I enjoy conversation. So, yes, yeah. I agree. A lot of people want to be right with their argument and can't admit when they're wrong. You know, whenever, if they get proven wrong by something, they're just like, well, I'll find another reason. I'll move the goalposts a little bit so that I still look right in this.
I'll admit, for a long part of my life, I was that person. I have gotten better at accepting the times that I was wrong instead of trying to argue about how I could maybe
sometimes
still be right.
Sometimes you checkmate. Yeah. That's just the way that it is. Sometimes you're just checking. You got to figure something out.
I've gotten a lot better at just knocking the king over and being like, all right.
Screw this. So, yeah. Flip over the whole board and then be like, I'm going to play Monopoly. It's a lot more fun for all of us.
Instead of that game of checkers where you just keep moving back and forth to the same spots and you're like, just let this be
That
over.
Being said, who on this team do you think is is there aside from Tolbert? Is there somebody else that's underappreciated, or does Tyler Guyton have a lot to prove? Does Cooper Beebe have a year two on his way, and he hasn't really quite earned that yet? Tyler Smith might be the one that goes underappreciated to me because of what he had to deal with on that offensive line last year as the one who was like, I don't even know if I'm going to play tackle today or not.
Yeah.
And so I would say that there's a lot of guys on this team that have more to prove than they are underappreciated. And by the way, Kevin, it does look like Roppe Hintz did not skate in the optional skate this morning. He did skate on his off day, but not today.
Ooh, which is potentially good?
I don't know the answer to that question.
I think it is, maybe.
I'm just giving the information.
By the way, I can't tell you how many people have texted in Frankel and Frankel Andrew Attorney text line 877-881-1053 and said they'll ride on that float with me.
Dude.
So we might need a couple of floats. Cowboys, make it happen by winning the Super Bowl.
And do you think Zeke could get up there and do the thing too? Or does he have to win?
We might need to monitor him at the parades.
All right. Okay. I understand what you're saying there.
All right. Couple of quick side notes for you. Did you see that Team USA won the Men's World Championship in hockey? It was the first time in 92 years, they have won the IIHF Men's World Championship, and that is an annual international hockey tournament, which usually features NHL players who aren't in the Stanley Cup playoffs or non-NHL players. And when they were celebrating and they did their big team picture and everything, they hung a Johnny Gaudreau jersey. I just thought that was super neat.
That is, his memory will live on forever, it seems. Absolutely. Especially in the hockey world. Oh, I got it, Kevin. Brian Anger is underappreciated.
I could see that.
There you go. Yet again, most beloved, Brandon Aubrey. Most underappreciated, Brian Anger. because special teams is what we're best at.
I'm glad we're good at special teams, but I don't want that to be the only thing we excel at.
Kevontae Turpin?
Yes.
Awesome.
We might have the best returner, one of the best punters, and the best kicker in football. That's great.
It.
Like, can we have some of that on offense and defense?
Mm-hmm.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus how would you react to getting a chair thrown at you? Next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Football hypothesis. Corey has told us that Kirk Cousins is not at voluntary workout.
Can you believe that?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I definitely can. Stop. Stop that. Do you think he could make his way to Pittsburgh, thus making sad Aaron Rodgers, who will then retire, and we never have to talk about that again?
Well, so I did see a note that Aaron Rodgers was, like, considering retirement now, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are considering bringing on Kirk Cousins if he retires, and it sounds like Aaron Rodgers is only going to retire if the Packers come to him and say that they'll, like, throw him a huge party and all these things. Yeah, it was a kind of a weird, like, hey, you know, like, it would be nice if they make a big deal.
So he would play football to spite them?
Yeah, he's like, you know what? I'm going to keep doing it. He wants to be in the Ring of Honor. He wants to be celebrated, Kevin. And that's what he really wants more than anything else,
man.
I believe.
I kind of want to talk about a segment at some point. What's the most outrageous thing you've done out of spite? I'll tell you my answer off air. I think you're going to like it. But right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas, 877-881-1053. The Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. Kevin, you are staring at me.
Alec, I'm just saying, if you dated somebody.
Oh, no.
Or maybe you were engaged to them and they decided they wanted to go hook up with somebody else and then still had their birth control sent to your house. You would not be wrong to throw it in the trash, right?
Was their name on it?
Theoretically.
Was their name on it?
That's I don't remember.
I'm always confused about this. I have somebody used to live in my house. All right, Alec, deal with it. It happened.
I feel like that's pretty common.
Am I supposed to be offended?
Occasionally, I still get mail for them, and I just throw it instead of sending it back. Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
So what's the difference? She didn't live there anymore?
Yeah, if it was a check, at least I didn't spend it.
It's the same basic concept.
Yeah, we still get the child support letters from the guy that used to live at our house.
Oh, man. Do you ever want to find that person and, like, try to help him fix up his life?
Kind of, because I have met him one time, and he seemed like a pretty nice guy whenever we talked, but... Yeah, I'm like, this is annoying because, you know, it's the nature that we live in now where we're ordering a bunch of stuff off of Amazon. And, you know, Kevin and I are ordering a bunch of cards that we probably shouldn't be buying. So I'm like, I get excited to check the mail every day because I probably have a package coming. And then it ends up just being child support letters for somebody that lives in a different state.
See, and the people are asking about federal offense for tampering with mail. I thought that's like if you went into someone else's mailbox or stole someone's
that's
mail. Like if it just comes to your house and I don't know.
Yeah, we just
end up... That was a hypothetical scenario, I told you anyway, so...
Yeah, I think we just end up shredding anything that either is ours and we don't want, or that isn't ours that still gets sent here. It's weird, but...
At the old house that I lived at, one of Adrian's coworkers moved into the house. So anytime any of that stuff came, they just bring it up to work and just give it to Adrian. And at one point, she was like, we're kind of getting tired of this.
Ooh, okay, one more mail question then. Return to sender or trash bin. Never open it. Felony. I hear you. But like, if you're just opening a stack of mail that you just assume is all yours because it comes to your house, do you make sure and like read the front of it every single time?
I know for a fact that if Kevin saw on the front of it super secret documents inside, he would be like, oh, I feel like I need to open this. I want to know the secret documents.
air. They might not being dispersed properly.
A lot of those places love doing that too, just to get your attention. It'll be like super important, time sensitive document enclosed.
Sensitive.
And then it's just some car dealership saying, you want to trade in your car?
Yeah.
It's
or, like, or you haven't donated yet this year and you're just like, it's May.
Yeah. It's like, I got plenty of time to be a good person. Jeez, leave me alone. I'll decide when I want to be nice. The question of the day coming up, plus, is this a fair reaction to getting a chair thrown at you? We'll listen to some audio here in just a little bit. But the question of the day is going to be inspired just a little bit by a topic you guys talked about during Crosstalk. Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson, dead at 79 over the weekend after some different health issues I know were covered over the past couple of years. But I grew up watching that show, and whenever it was at its peak, it was when I was around, what, probably like 9-10 years old. Reality TV, I didn't understand that it was so totally stupid and so thought out and planned and scripted.
What?
Yeah. You know, I didn't know that about wrestling either, and Bobby still likes to make that joke to me that, you know, it's not real, whatever. Still real to me, damn it.
But
so,
you needed
to
be...
It's not fake, it's just scripted.
Yeah. You needed to be scripted, right? Because, like, Henry Rollins always had this joke, and he said, you wouldn't want real reality TV. Like, are you going to watch a show called Factory? And, like, every 10 seconds, a guy just puts his hand on his hip and goes... Like, that's, that's not entertaining.
Yeah, well, because like, imagine even for something like what we do, you know, it would be cool during the process of it.
Sure.
But do you want to watch me go pick up my groceries after the show today? No.
Yeah. Do you want to watch me go to the restroom 3 or 4 times?
Oh.
No.
Sounds like a healthy average adult there.
In 2013, the fourth series premiere, season premiere, Till Duck Do Us Part, drew 11.8 million viewers. The most watched nonfiction cable series in history at the time.
So the question is going to be, since I grew up watching this and I thought it was the funniest thing ever, the most entertaining thing ever, and then I kind of watched some older reruns over the past couple years, I'm like, why did I like this? What's the show that's synonymous to your childhood? 877-881-1053, because that's one of them. SpongeBob is obviously a big part of my generation.
Yeah.
And I saw that Nicktoons has switched their entire format to SpongeBob only for the summer.
Which is really great because little Noah is kind of getting into SpongeBob.
Yes.
And so, you know, you can always put it on.
Yes. And I'm probably going to have it on in the background whenever there's no local sports on. Just because, you know, that little hint of nostalgia, you know, makes me smile, gives me a good reason to have a good day. And then Lilo and Stitch is another one that I think of because me and my sister were absolutely obsessed with it. Just saw the movie 2 days ago. I thought it was great.
Did you see all of the movie?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you liked it?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. What are you doing there, Kevin?
I'm just asking follow-up questions like a good listener.
You're a smart guy. I know what you're trying to do, trying to draw me off sides there. But
Saved by the Bell. For me,
that's a good one.
It was Saved by the Bell. Whenever Zach and Slater would be in a fight, it was devastating.
Yeah.
They tried that unfortunate thing where Zach and Lisa were going to date and broke poor Screech's heart. Yeah. Plus, go take a look. That show was called Good Morning, Miss Bliss. And then they moved like 3 or 4 of the main characters all moved to the same high school from Indiana to California. Really confusing.
They were in Indiana?
Yes.
To start that?
Yes, they were.
No wonder her skirt was so long.
Corey Majors, ladies and
gentlemen. If they were in California, the weather's different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Makes more sense now.
Mm-hmm.
Saved by the Bell definitely is on the list. I think The Cosby Show will always be one of those that, like, I watched every episode.
Yeah.
All the time. Then there was...
Because we didn't know.
No. And I wouldn't have thought anything like that at the time. Full House was... And again,
what
a perfect example. Bob Saget, maybe the dirtiest comedian out there. He was the best father you've ever seen in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that was... And when he would break, too, you hear the stories. Full House was another one of them. Boy Meets World definitely lines up. So those are kind of the three that I do remember. And Saved by the Bell, obviously.
Did you ever watch Girl Meets World?
I tried. It wasn't for me.
See, I liked Girl Meets World. I did not know that her friend would end up becoming like the biggest pop star in the world. I didn't watch the show and be like, that blonde girl, she's going to take over society.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Good for her, though.
There was a couple that came through that were a bit older than my time, but I still grew up watching because
Three's Company.
because my dad has this super old Alf doll that he has kept in immaculate shape.
No way.
Yeah. And somehow it survived Texas summers in our attic. It looks brand new.
Does it eat cats?
I hope not, because we've had a bunch of cats.
So
that's where they went.
Alec, I'm going to request about 45 seconds of your time, please. All right. If you're not familiar with the TV show Alf.
What in the show?
It came out in the 80s, and it stood for Alien Life Form. Mm-hmm. And they called him Alf. And basically, it was just a puppet behind the counter in the kitchen that came from the planet Melmac. And he got taken in by this family. But what he loved to eat was cats.
They were delicious.
Yes, exactly. And so he would eat cats that they had at the house, and then they realized, oh, we got to change it up. That was the show. That was the whole thing.
And then all the hilarious Alf things.
Yeah.
Who played his voice? Do we know? Did we ever know? Did they keep it hidden like Daft Punk?
I don't know, but there was a movie that came out called Permanent Midnight, I'm pretty sure, with Ben Stiller, that was about the guy who wrote Alf.
Really?
Back to you, Alec.
Another one for me is Home Improvement. That was always on in the house. Yeah, I loved Home Improvement. Like, there was a lot of older shows that I loved because my mom would always put those on. Anything from like the 90s was always on in the house.
I think it was Jonathan Taylor Thomas's room that he had. Maybe it was the brothers. They had the beds that kind of were not bunk beds, but they were, you know, I was always jealous of some of these rooms.
Yeah.
Some of these rooms and some of these shows, I was like, dude, they got so much cool stuff in that house. Everything's so cool in that kid's room.
Somebody told me to look up Zach Morris's Trash, and apparently this was a TV show.
You haven't watched Zach Morris's Trash? Dude, you got to watch a few episodes of this. Like, it is hilarious.
Look, I get it. I remember he stopped dating that lady wrestler because they were like, oh, did she protect you? And he's like, my fragile ego is broken.
And don't forget about the time that he was dating the girl in the wheelchair until he found out she was in a wheelchair. And he was like, I don't know how to do this. Guys,
oh, man, I don't know if I remember that one.
Yeah, he was like, hey, guys, this is Emily. She's in a wheelchair. And everybody was like, yeah, we didn't have to bring that up.
Okay. See, this is up my alley. And this actually goes to your point, Corey, from the 214. Drake and Josh and Zoe 101. That's my era. But Drake and Josh goes to your point, Corey, because they set an unreasonable expectation for what some 15-year-old room should look like.
They had everything in there.
Like, my bedroom as a 23-year-old man is a third of the size of theirs. They had a whole balcony that they could go on and everything. It was the coolest bedroom ever. So much space. It's like, does every kid get a room like that? Why does mine feel like a cubicle compared to theirs?
Did one of the Drakes or the Joshes get in trouble later in life? Or am I imagining?
Drake did. He had some situations that came up that are kind of evading me right now, but he's been on this redemption arc. And I know that Drake and Josh actually made up with each other.
That's nice.
And they've done some podcasts together and some sit-down interviews.
Which one was the larger one that lost all the weight?
Josh.
That was Josh?
Josh Peck.
I recently saw him in The Last of Us. He was in it for a very short period of time, but he was in The Last of Us.
Sounds like me when it comes to season 3 of The Last of Us. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
Does it ever make you sad when you find out those people aren't really friends?
Yes. That makes me really sad because that's what happened with Drake and Josh was they had a big falling out after the show ended.
That makes me sad.
And I think it was stemmed because Josh didn't invite Drake to his wedding. And so there was an online beef thing that went on. And then the whole the documentary series about the Nickelodeon stuff and the dirty behind the scenes stuff came out. And we found out that Drake went through a lot of really bad stuff. And a lot of people were like, we should probably give this guy a chance to, be a good human.
Yeah.
But let's see. I want to play some sound for you from the AHL because there was a hockey game going on and it was with the Canucks local broadcast for the AHL. The play-by-play man's name is Brandon and then his last name is A-S-T-L-E. How would you pronounce that?
Azel.
Yeah, it's probably smart.
Yeah.
I get what you're doing.
And I tried to listen to the broadcast and see if I could find the open where he introduces himself. Couldn't find it, so I'm just going to call him Brandon. And during the game, a drunken fan approached the booth and took his chair from him and threw the chair at him. And this is how it sounded on air.
Got some Yahoo chap chirping at me from behind. Get out of here. What was he doing? Security. Try that again. I'm fired up. He threw my chair at me. Hit me right in the back of the leg. Like, what was he doing here? Unreal.
We need to
have another beer.
And you could hear the chirping in the back, right?
That's like, still the guy who threw the chair? He's still there?
Yeah, he's still angry.
Like, dude, but we don't know why?
We don't know why. It ended up being like a 5-0 rout, right? Mm. So there was a lot going on, I guess, and he was probably very emotional. And he said, hey, have another beer, why don't you? You know, so definitely seemed like a drunken fan situation. And yeah, he had to get security to escort him out. They never really got a real explanation as to why that happened.
I'm sure we've talked about this before. There was a playoff soccer game I was at, and there were folks sitting in the press box, and this parent came up and was mad that they didn't stop the clock. He started pounding on the glass for the press box. He goes, stop the clock. And we're like, dude, the timekeper is like a few rooms.
Yeah, this is the wrong
over.
People, buddy.
Yeah, it's not us. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Does Brandon Cooks know what the word fun actually means? Next on The Fan.
Back to throw on third and short, looking around, left side, got a man, Brandon Cooks, crossing right to left, into the corner, touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, once again, asking the questions that matter, like how old does a person have to be before you're like, yeah, well, what are you going to do?
When you see an old person driving and they make the mistake, I don't know, maybe they just feel like the whole highway is theirs, you know, and I know young people do this too. But grandmother at one point, I remember she turned out in front of somebody and I was like, holy crap, grandma. And she goes, I don't need to worry about them. They need to worry about me. And I was like, oh my gosh, this isn't a good way for you to drive.
Yeah, unless they like T-bow your car and then feels like you do have to worry.
So yeah, man, sometimes whenever I'm driving and I'm like, who is this idiot in front of me? And then I pull up and I see that it's an old person. I'm like, well, what are you going to do?
Hey, let me just fight old people.
Yeah, I'm not going to just fight old people.
Is that Chris Jericho?
No, that was Zach Wilson.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I said it. By the way, for the young people, let's help out the old people and the young people. We've now confirmed through multiple sources, if you just like a handful of Instagram posts, that can be the key for them to reach out in your DM.
Well, I just did that. I just went on Instagram and liked every picture my wife's posts. And so we'll see if that pays off for me.
Are they family pictures?
Some of them. Some of them are my dead dog, Kevin.
Oh, my God.
And my live dog.
Well, right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
That didn't go the way you thought it would, did you?
No, it didn't, because he knows I was going to ask him why I didn't like his family pictures before. So he threw his dead dog in there to try to deflect. There, it worked.
Dip it and rip it.
Rest in peace, Landry. Now, Corey, this is going to be shocking news that you never could have imagined. Joey Bosa has a calf injury.
Oh, I can't believe it.
He is likely out until training camp. On a scale of 1 to 10, how shocked are you?
I'm not shocked at all. I can't believe it was actually sarcasm from me, which is very rare. This guy, when he was drafted, I think he got hurt walking onto the stage, didn't he?
Yeah.
This dude has he played a single season, full season? I don't think Joey Bosa has played.
He played 14 games last year.
Again, is that a full season? Hmm. 14 games for the Chargers, I guess, is a full season. But yeah, look at this. 12 in his rookie year. So he got 16 year two.
Oh, hell yeah.
7 in year three.
Oh.
16 in year four.
Hey,
in year 12. 16 again. So 3 years he's played 16 games. Year after that, 5, 9, and 14. The dude is never healthy.
Now I get what you're saying.
Now, that being said, when he's on the field, he's really good. Like, he can wreck up some plans for somebody. But here is Buffalo hoping that they can really, you know, amp up their defense, and he's not going to be available until later on.
So you do not believe?
I don't believe
that. You know, we talked about this earlier, but I love the way coaches say this. So Raheem Morris was asked about Kirk Cousins, and he said, ooh, I did not see Kirk Cousins today. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean...
he said the ooh part. Ooh.
No, I added that.
As a matter of fact,
I added that for him.
I just realized we didn't see him out there.
My bad. He said, I did not see Kirk Cousins today, which could be a defense mechanism. So, like, later on, you work it out, and you're like, oh, turns out he was in the meeting rooms all day. I don't know why I missed it, but he was there. All right, let's go from that to Brandon Cooks. Do you think Brandon Cooks knows what the word fun means?
I don't.
Here's why I ask. Because the quarterback competition in New Orleans is between Tyler Shuck, Spencer Rattler, and Jake Haener. And he said, quote, it's fun seeing those guys compete. All three of them are having a great spring. So it's going to be fun to watch that competition. Do you think Brandon Cooks has the same definition of fun that you or I do?
You don't think it's going to be fun to see a quarterback competition in New Orleans?
Hell no. With those three?
You don't know what Tyler Shuck is. Fair. At this age, he could be one of those people I was talking about driving on the highway. He's old. He is an old player yes. at this point. But you don't know what he is yet. They drafted him for a reason, Kevin. I'm sure it's going to all work out.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Cooks, hey, he flies airplanes. That's kind of fun.
I would much rather do that than watch the Saints quarterback competition.
I bet he would, too. I bet Brandon Cooks would much rather be flying an airplane than watching that competition.
Fair.
Back in New Orleans again.
Fair.
But those are some bad quarterbacks.
Now, has Travis Hunter set the bar too high for Alec? Now, you, Corey, you're already married. Me, I'm already married, so we're off the hook. But someday...
You're not married.
When Alec gets married... Or yes. Carter gets married. Travis Hunter surprised his wife. There was like a big sheet over it, and they cut a ribbon and everything like that with a brand new black Mercedes-Benz AMG G63. Now, depending on how you modify the car, big range, but between $300,000 and $600,000.
That's not for him though. You know, like that's just pocket change still. Mm. On the contracts he's going to get.
But do you think that ups the ante for Carter and Alec to get a six-figure present for their wife when they get married?
Well, as we all know, it is a 3-year salary for the wedding ring. That's always been the case.
That is not correct.
You either have the 3 years already made or you got to earn it, you know?
3-year salary.
Hey, which
people
is great.
Never be getting engaged.
Which is great with Adrian because I was like, yeah, this is all I can afford. You know my salary and all those jobs that I worked back in the day. It was very low.
You're giving me free game here. I'm totally going to use that excuse. I saw Tim was here. I might have to talk to him. And if you want to sponsor AM on the FM, Alec on the radio, because it sounds like I'm going to have a lot of work to do here. So thanks, Travis. Like, don't you just hate people like that? Like, God, you're just great at everything you do, and you look like you're just an incredible now husband.
Yeah.
Like, go away, dude.
Yeah.
Stop.
Did that put pressure on the wife to be like, what did you get me?
Ooh.
Also,
that's a great question.
I didn't even know this was a thing when we had Noah. I learned about a push present.
You gotta give your present.
We didn't do that with Brandon. I didn't know what that was.
I was told to. I think that they just tell us and then we're like,
yeah, well,
we don't know any
guess
better.
Guess what? I didn't have to push the baby out of my body, so I bought her a present.
I did too.
I thought that felt fair.
I did too. I got her, you know, I had to buy 3 presents with all those kids.
It's too many.
There's a lot of kids. So many presents.
Now, from the 806, Tyler Shuck shouldn't win the job because he pronounces his name stupid.
That's true. I'm very with you on that. It's Shao. Everybody knows
it's
that.
Not,
or Shu.
But it's not. Okay.
Because through is said that way. And it's spelled weird.
Ooh,
so.
Yeah.
But then again, my last name is spelled stupid too. I mean, look at my last name. Most people can't figure it out. I have to tell them.
Yeah.
And then there's Kevin Hoagland over here.
That's not how you say it.
It's how a coach said it once.
That is
it's
true.
Rahe.
All right. Let's go to punters. We talked about Brian Anger earlier in the day. The Raiders have made A.J. Cole the NFL's top punter.
For now.
Yeah, for now.
Until Jerry hears about that.
4 years, $15.8 million extension, so about $4 million per year, 3.95, with $11 million guaranteed.
The Raiders are a little weird with this. They always seem to be paying their kickers a lot, like Janikowski And who was their punter? The
Shane Leckler.
Shane Leckler, the dude who kicked 97 yards.
He was awesome.
It was awesome. But yeah, they do like to do that. Are they trying to set the market for punters now?
I don't. That's a good question. I'm not sure. All right, Javonte Williams says, "I feel completely like myself for the first time since the 2022 knee injury. I hope he is right, of course." But do you feel like this is a different version of I'm in the best shape of my life?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is still one of the easiest things to say every year.
Yeah.
That's the easiest thing to say. This one, though, is starting to make its way up the chart pretty fast. And I like it.
All right.
I'll use it more often.
Okay. You're starting to feel like yourself.
I'm starting to feel like myself.
I like that.
Starting to feel like me. And that's what I want.
All right. Let's go from that to your guy, Ben Johnson. Have you heard even at OTAs? He has kind of lit into Caleb Williams. Even on a complete pass, he's like, that crap's never going to fly.
Are you serious?
In a regular season game.
Whoa, I like it.
I know, and I know you like Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
Are you excited about the idea that you want coaching? Here's some coaching. Don't throw that stupid pass in a regular season game.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who's complained about what the coaching staff was for him. So if he really wants that. And you want to be challenged. You definitely want to be challenged, especially if you were the number one overall pick, were relatively successful in college, and you go to an organization that's struggled a lot. You don't want to just show up there and then be like, all right, man, good luck. You want somebody that's there that's challenging you every day and holding you accountable, because what's going to happen? Everybody else then is held accountable too. And then you're going to win. I think that's a positive.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Coming up next, will the Stars scoring pick up this series, or is Ottinger going to have to steal it for us? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.